The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I want to be in the light, as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ, a heart-to-heart conversation with pastors called to build the kingdom of God here in Southern California.
All I want is to be in the light.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ. I'm Donna Rush. You are going to hear an extraordinary story about a young boy who fled his home country of Sri Lanka. His family and how they ended up here in Los Angeles, and his journey throughout the music industry, creating what can only be called his own sound. A righteous rebel, he's been called. Now releasing his seventh album, he is also a minister, a seminary student, a husband, and dad to three precious girls. His name is Rajiv Nandakumaran, but his music name is Jivo. And here's a bit of his music to set the scene.
Shout out to my old self, I don't know you. Shout out to my last album, I eclipse you. Shout out to the people that never believe. They always want a tame version of Rajiv. Shout out to the ex that you never met. Sometimes it's the ex that leads you to next. Sometimes you alone.
All right, welcome, Jivo.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, your bio talks about the music industry and you having to wrestle, or really the music industry having to wrestle with game changers, originals, and what you call a righteous rebel. How would you describe your music?
Yeah, I think a lot of times when you are in an industry, they want to place you in a specific box.
Sure.
Mainly because it's understandably so, mainly because they want to sell you to mm-hmm. a certain demographic.
Yeah.
When I first started, I was pretty much in the Christian music industry. But to be very candid, sometimes the executives in that industry thought that my music couldn't be packaged in a nice way to just like the Christian demographic.
Mm.
And then when I would go to the secular audiences, they would tell me that I talk about God too much. So
oh,
I found
wow.
myself kind of having to navigate both spaces and sort of creating my own lane that way.
So how would you describe it?
I mean,
is it hip hop? Is it what is it? What would you say?
Yeah, it's definitely hip hop based, R&B, soulful. There's a lot of rock and gospel in there as well. The way I would say it is this: my brother's a physician, and when a patient comes to a physician, nobody actually asks him if he's a Christian doctor.
Mm.
He's actually a physician who happens to be a doctor. Who happens to be a Christian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I would say I'm an artist who's also a Christian. And so I don't disintegrate my life. Everything I do is stemmed from my faith. But we don't actually have to call it Christian music, even though it is.
It's music with that Christian, by a Christian artist.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Just like I'm a dad who is Christian. So my
yes.
fatherhood is completely a result of my faith in Christ.
I love that.
Yeah.
So what are you hoping then? Let's just take your life, because I'm very interested to see how you got to where you are today.
Yeah.
So let's go back. You were born in Sri Lanka that has been facing civil war for years. So tell me what was going on and how that led to your family being here.
Yeah. So my parents, we didn't plan on coming to America. They were both very successful lawyers in Sri Lanka.
Uh-huh.
There was something in 1983 while my mother was pregnant with me. There was Black July, they call it, where mm. there was an ethnic cleansing of the Tamil people. Sri Lanka is made up of two races, the
yeah.
Sinhalese and the Tamil. They're both great people, but the government wanted to suppress the rights of the Tamil people. As a result, they came and basically ethnically cleansed us from the city. They burned our house. They burned our property, everything we had.
Oh,
they actually burned the house looking for my brother to kill the firstborn. And my mom, because she was very intelligent and just knew how to talk her way through everything, she hid him under a mattress, and the one mattress they didn't flip over is where he was. Oh. And by God's grace, we fled that very night to the village where actually my mom was born, and that's where I was born. It's called Jaffna. It's in the north of Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 months later, we found ourselves in a place called Pasadena, California.
Wow.
Because my uncle chased a girl from New York to Pasadena. And he was like, yeah, I'm in this place called Pasadena. So you guys can come here.
So you had someone, because you need a sponsor sometimes just to be able to come in.
That's
and so
right.
He was.
And he came here to do music. He was a rock star in Sri Lanka, really.
Wow.
And he came out here to do music, and he had some success, but the most success he had was bringing us here.
Yeah, amen. Wow. That's just that, you know, when you hear about all that, so much of God was in that, even
100%.
In that moment with your brother,
yes,
like being saved from that happening. And wow.
And at the time, you know, my mom was born Christian. My dad's a Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, when she came here, her faith caught on fire. And unfortunately, at the age of 9, about 8 years after we got here, she passed away from a very strong cancer that's pretty rare.
I'm so sorry.
And thank you. But as a result, we saw her life and we saw what God was doing. My brother and I became Christian a month after. Mm. And
After she passed. Mm-hmm.
So the way our Christianity formed is it's in the context of a very non-Christian space.
Mm.
So we didn't have the culture of Christianity to fall back on. We only had the living Christ. And so we couldn't rest on the laurels of what the church presented for us. Or, you know, now my kids are in the church, so there's this certain comfort of being raised in community and things like that. We just had like a Bible and God and a few Christians around us. And that's kind of how we navigated.
So you mean at that moment you didn't have like a church to go to or anything? But
We were plugged into a church shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have, we were always also at the temple.
Got it.
Because my dad would go to the Hindu, and most Sri Lankans are not Christian.
Right.
So in a way that's informed even how I practice my music in the sense that I don't need a place for it to belong. It just, it is what it is. It lives in its own universe. And for those who have ears to hear, they hear.
Oh, I love that. I know there was a statement that I read of yours that said, I found Jesus and realized he cannot be contained within the boxes of religion, but wants every part of us and wants to be on the throne of every area of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really easy for people who are born into a Christian household to sort of compartmentalize their life and say, well, you know, as long as I go to church, as long as I do a certain things, as long as I appear to be Christian, if I don't curse and if I don't do certain things, that makes me a Christian. And then when it comes to their finances or their family life or their dating life even, it's separate.
Yeah.
And I think what God expects of us, of disciples, is to have a fully integrated life where there's not one space that's divorced from his presence. And it's really easy and comfortable sometimes to have a vocation. And, you know, people always say artists, you have to say you're a Christian artist.
Mm.
But if you're any other profession, you don't actually have to say that.
Right.
So why is all the responsibility put on an artist?
Sure.
Or a movie. A movie has to be Christian or this, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But whereas if you're a science teacher, you can be a Christian, but it's not worn on you in the same way.
Right.
And so I'm just flipping the tables a little bit and saying, let's all have the same accountability that you put on musicians. You know?
Right. Is that the righteous rebel part?
I think so. There's much more rebel in there too.
Oh, is there? All right. So you are now releasing your seventh album.
Yes. It's called Wink.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of planted the title in my book that came out like a few years ago in 2020. It basically means that if you get a wink from God, it's more significant than the applause of thousands of people.
Mm.
And a wink is kind of, it's a gesture that it has to do with hearing from God and relying on just a whisper that trumps the multitude of voices that actually might have good intentions, but it's not God. See, from the very first start of humanity, when we bit into the apple in the book of Genesis, we basically said that we wanted access to good and evil. Mm-hmm. We wanted to know the difference between good and evil. When in reality, God said, no, I want to determine what's good for your life. So today we have a whole bunch of goods. So we actually seem to, we discern from good to good, but we don't know how to discern from good to God. And that's the difference. So like young kids are always struggling with what am I going to do with my life? So they start to have a pros and cons list of all the goods, but they can't hear what God wants for their life.
I see.
They just do a process of elimination, right? And I think we even do that with marriage. We do that with friendships and a multitude of things. That's what the wink means.
I love that. Now, is that kind of what your book is about as well? Or
so the book is called The New Great.
Yeah.
What it means is, are you allowed? It's redefining the idea of greatness. So, for example, in our culture today, if you're Michael Jordan and if you're the greatest in a craft, we automatically
the goat.
If you're the goat, if you're the goat, which I think is Kobe, but if you're the goat,
okay.
we automatically say you're great. But you can basically forsake every other part of your life. If you don't have to be a great husband, you don't have to be a great father, you don't have to be a great friend. And so this book is actually discussing my own issues of how I was actually discipled wrongly. I was actually under the impression that if I succeeded and did really well in music, that would gain the affection of God. And what actually God was actually teaching me in this book and through this book is, no, greatness is a much more holistic thing, and we have to actually redefine what greatness is in this culture. Because now everybody's on their phone comparing and contrasting their likes to somebody else's, not realizing that the internal person, who God makes you on the inside, is actually part of greatness. It doesn't necessarily always translate to the scope, but the depth is equally important. And so that's the proposition that I'm making in this book.
In the book again?
The New Great.
The New Great.
Yeah.
All right. So I know in your music, you're kind of also doing a lot. You want your music to kind of be a voice for the voiceless. The success of your music and things, you've always kind of used that for good causes and things. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think because of the fact that I wasn't actually even supposed to be in this country, I have a huge responsibility to my own country of Sri Lanka. Also, my wife is from Egypt, and she works in the garbage villages in Cairo.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of times the concerts would completely fund initiatives that are happening in Sri Lanka or Egypt. We actually have we own preschools. It's a one of a kind preschool for every child enrolled. One child gets free education in another part of the world.
Wow.
And so we're expanding this year, the week after my concert, to Lake Avenue Church, actually, to the campus of Lake Avenue Church. Everything that we do has an international bent, just because we believe that God brought us here for a reason, and we're all completely tied to our respective nations.
If you have just joined us, you are listening to A Passion for Christ. I'm your host, Donna Rush, and my guest is Rajiv Nadukumaran, and Jivo is his singer-songwriting name. He's a rapper, producer, artist, now book author of The New Great. Came to the U.S. as a refugee, as a child, fleeing civil war in Sri Lanka. And we're just hearing about his life today and how he came to know Christ as a child and how that has really influenced his life throughout in all the different ways that's integrating continually today in all that he does. So we're just talking about now that you're doing the preschool. Now, this is a preschool, right? It's kind of a Montessori type. Is it called a Christian? We were talking about how it's either Christian music or it's not, you know, and all that.
That's a great question. The current school we have is not a Christian school, but it's a Montessori preschool run by Christians. The school at Lake Avenue Church that's opening August 1st,
yes.
It's called Bridge Global Academy. Mm-hmm. It's a Christian program. From infant care all the way till grade 6.
Oh, wow.
We're taking over the whole campus where it will be a Christian program. It will have a discipleship component in it, more so in the elementary space from grades 1 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
The preschool, there will be some formational things, but it will just, you know, be primarily a preschool.
So that is another thing. You just have your hands in a lot of areas.
Yeah, it's kind of the only way I know how to do this.
So so you have 3 daughters. Are they young?
They are.
Yeah.
Ages 6, 4. Today's my second one's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Simone is 6, Soleil is 4, and Liv is 6, 5 months.
Happy birthday, Soleil. Yes. All right. And so was education a passion of your wife's? How did you guys get into the Montessori school?
Yeah, actually, not really.
No?
I grew up in a Montessori school.
Oh, okay.
And my mom, when she came from Sri Lanka, she became a Montessori school teacher.
Oh, wow.
So it was always in my head, like, especially after she passed away, like, you know, I should do this later at some point. And so I'm an artist and a musician, but since I graduated UCLA, I've always had a corporate job. So
okay.
I was always working at, in healthcare, or my last job was at Disney down the street as a project manager. It was only like 4 years ago that I stopped all that. When I decided to stop that because I wanted to have more time for music and family,
mm-hmm.
we started this school, and it really just came from a word from God. And we found a space. We started with 3 kids. Now we have over 100. And then we're expanding to hopefully like 300.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On that. All right. So we kind of skipped over a little bit about it. Now you've got you're about to release your 7th album. But how did you became a Christian as a child, and you were growing up there, and your dad was also, you know, Hindu, and so you were kind of having all of that going on in your life. How did you get into the music world? Was that from your uncle who you came here?
Yeah,
who was in that world?
That's a good question. I think, to be honest, I just always had a love for music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say I love something, but we don't know what that love actually means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was a love that actually demanded some level of sacrifice. So when I went to UCLA, I was going to be a lawyer. And there was this,
like,
was
your mom and dad were,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. And that's kind of like what an Asian, you have like medicine, law, or engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much your life calling.
Okay.
When I went to college, my faith really grew. I don't know how deep to go, but basically what happened was I went on a music fest.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked Christian music.
Wow.
I just didn't like how it sounded.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was huge into the secular music, but I felt God say, like, put that away for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So for 30 days, or for Lent, that's what it was,
mm-hmm.
I started listening to only worship music.
Mm-hmm.
And during that process, God, I developed a love for communicating the things that the worship music was telling me.
Yes.
But in the sounds and in the context of what I liked.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And that's actually, if you listen to my music now, it's literally what I do.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing called Urbana, which mm-hmm. is a missions conference put on by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship.
Yeah.
And it was at Urbana where God really spoke to me and said, you're doing music. Now, at the time, I did not play one instrument. I knew,
wow.
I knew harmony. I knew a lot, quite a bit about music in that way, but I didn't play any instruments. I never wrote one song. Today I have written over 1,000, but it just, from that moment on, I just said, okay, I'm going to do music, but still have a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where we're at. Yeah.
So did you switch your major at UCLA, or did you graduate in law?
I stayed poli sci, international relations. And then the next year after I graduated, I worked at Kaiser Permanente, and I used my salary to record my first studio album.
Wow. And do you know how to play instruments now?
Yeah. So in the meantime, I learned how to play the piano, just basic chord progressions. I just have an ear for melody. That's probably the gifting that God has given me, plus lyrics. And then I get better instrumentalists to come in and play what I need them to play.
Wonderful. You know, and I'm just thinking about this because here you were in law school. You didn't play a single instrument. And you say, yeah, I kind of had an ear, you know, for melody and such. But I'm thinking of just hearing that word from God saying, yeah, you're going to do music. How do you know? I mean, what?
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, how did you know? Because I'm thinking of people right now that may be thinking they're hearing a word from God, and they're thinking, well, that can't be right because I'm in school to be a dentist or whatever it is. Or
in a lot of ways, God will never speak to you and not require faith. So a lot of times in the Western context, we think that we have heard a sound word from God when it matches up with our rationality. And actually, the way that Christianity was developed in the early church and such, that's not how it was. That's not how it is. That's actually not the biblical definition of faith either. So if you're not compelled to have faith in the midst of hearing from God, you won't actually hear from God because you will always think that God's word is something that lines up with your rationality. When in the end, you're not the one that's rational. It's God who's rational. You're actually irrational, and we mainly function from our flesh. So I would just say, like, to anyone who's listening who's curious about hearing from God, whatever, I don't have the answer, but what I will say is it will still require deep faith. And we see that in Abraham, and we can go on.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Now, you are a seminary student now?
Yes, at Fuller, yeah.
Oh, at Fuller. Okay. So do you preach? You preach regularly now, right?
Yeah, I'm preaching on Sunday.
Oh, you
at
are?
My church, yeah. And I speak at different conferences and things like that.
Yeah. And how is that for you? This transition, how is it going?
Yeah, it feels like a second half of life. I think it's good. I'm only in seminary not to necessarily become a pastor. Mm-hmm. It's because it's just deepening my understanding of scripture and church history, which I think is good for me just in general.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going really well. I enjoy opening up the Word of God. Whenever I read scripture, I read it like I never read it before, because I read it like an outsider, and that's how I actually feel like I draw deep revelation from it without being an insider and kind of predicting what God is already saying. I actually look at it like it's a fresh word every time.
What a great way for us to look at God's word each and every day.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you for that. You do have this event coming up that is a partnership with World Visions.
Yes.
So this event is coming up. You mentioned that you worked for Walt Disney for a while. Did this come about because of that, or how did that work?
It didn't, but it's funny. And I also worked for World Vision.
Oh, my goodness. So wow. How about that?
A lot of worlds colliding.
Yeah.
Essentially, my dream has always been to perform at the Walt Disney Concert Hall.
Yes.
I tried to do it 10 years ago. Way above my budget. It's still above my budget, but I'm just a little crazier now, I guess. And
there's
so,
that faith. Yeah. Felt like you were supposed to do this, huh?
Exactly. I know I'm supposed to do this. Yes. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but I know I have to do it. In 2020, World Vision wanted me to be an ambassador for their Chosen program, which if you look it up, traditionally, child sponsorships work where the sponsor chooses someone to sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's flipped, where they take pictures of you and the child actually chooses you.
Yes.
So it's kind of a beautiful approach. So they wanted to launch this. They asked me if I wanted to do a concert. I said, yes, can you give me the Walt Disney Concert Hall? They said, okay. And then can you also get me Kanye West and the Sunday Service Choir? Now, I know that like his name is like a bad name right now, but this is when he first became a Christian. And I've been a huge Kanye West fan, even when I was a kid. And basically, they agreed, and it was set for June 15, 2020.
Oh, wow.
And then COVID happened.
Yes,
and so
okay.
That's messed that whole thing up. So now this is a redemptive space where it's coming back 3 years later.
That's wonderful. So the event is July 22nd. It's at the Walt Disney Concert Hall this summer. And there's actually a way that people can get in for free.
Yes. It's the first free concert put on by an independent artist like myself. John Legend did this hall a few months ago. This is a big deal. Like, this is a big deal. These tickets are usually like $150 a person.
Wow.
And it's free for you.
Yes.
If you go to jevomusic.com.
There you go.
Jeevo music.com and RSVP. And you're going to see an orchestra. You're going to see myself. You're going to see a choir. You're going to see some fun things. And more than anything, this is going to inspire you to live the life that you've always wanted to live.
Thank you so much. Rajiv Nadakumaran, known as Jevo. Just go to jevomusic.com if you want to reserve those tickets. It's only about 2,000 Available.
Yeah. First 2000.
Yeah, first 2000 and free. All right. Thank you so much for being with us here on A Passion for Christ. It's been a delight.
This is great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So let's just go out with a little bit of the music of Gevo. You've been listening to A Passion for Christ on 99.5 KKLA.
You've been listening to A Passion for Christ, sponsored by 99.5 KKLA. Tune in again next week at this same time for another intimate glimpse at what God is stirring in the hearts of Southern California's pastors, here on A Passion for Christ.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.